This morning's reading comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 5 and 9 to 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young.
Let's pray together. Yes, Father, we do want to acknowledge you, worship you for who you are. We thank you that we can come and bring to you the love and the adoration of our hearts. And as we turn now to your living word, we ask that you would, by your Holy Spirit, reveal its truth to each of us. And Father, we pray that you would just speak a word into each of our lives that will encourage us and help us this Christmas time to trust in you for all things and to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the carols of Christmas is God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, and it has a great refrain at the end of each verse, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy, oh tidings of comfort and joy. And down through the centuries, the Christian message has been exactly that, a message that brings comfort and a message that brings joy into the hearts of men and women and young people and children. And especially when circumstances in life are dark and dangerous and difficult, then the Christian message brings a ray of light and a glimmer of hope into our hearts. And this Christmas, the world needs to hear again those tidings of comfort and joy. We see the nations in turmoil in Southeast Asia, with conflict between Thailand and Cambodia, with conflict in the Middle East, in Gaza and in Yemen, with conflict in Africa, in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, with conflict in Europe, in Ukraine. Everywhere we look, we see the need for comfort, people yearning to be comforted because of the hard, difficult experiences that they're going through. People who need joy restored to their hearts and to their lives. Many people in our world today face an uncertain future, and they desperately need to hear and receive those tidings of comfort and joy that will bring light and hope into their darkness and despair. And no matter what our situation is this morning, every single one of us needs to hear again those tidings of comfort and joy. Before even the first Christmas came to pass, God was preparing the world to receive his tidings of comfort and joy. That was the message that the prophet Isaiah brought to King Ahaz when Judah was under fierce attack from Israel and her pagan allies all around. And King Ahaz was encouraged by the prophet to put his trust in God and not to be afraid by the dark circumstances that were facing him and the nation. And God graciously gave him a sign to strengthen his trust so that he would not be afraid. That sign was the promise of a coming Savior, Isaiah 7 and 14. The Lord himself, said Isaiah, will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. You see, God always steps into every situation of moral and spiritual darkness, every situation of need, every situation of oppression and persecution and trial. God always steps into those darknesses and brings a message of comfort and hope. And Isaiah foretold that one day God would send his own son into the darkness of this sinful world, and he would bring in his son and through his son comfort and hope into our lives. Isaiah develops that prophecy in the 9th chapter, where he says in verses 2 and 6, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When Jesus came to earth that very first Christmas time, he came into a dark world. For the Jewish people, there was scarcely a glimmer of hope for the future. They were an occupied nation, suffering under the jackboot of Rome. They were governed by a political puppet installed by Rome, someone who was a friend of the emperor, by name King Herod, who was brutal, decadent, and corrupt. Life was hard, and the people of Israel were longing for God to intervene, as he had done so when they were in bondage to another tyrant, Pharaoh. They longed for a redeemer to come to set them free. In fact, across the whole Roman world at that particular time, there was an expectation that someone was about to come who would be a savior for mankind, someone who would bring the light of hope into the darkness of the despair experienced by ordinary people. And so, that night, out in the darkness of the Judean countryside, as has so graphically been shared with us in the talk to the children, that night, out of the darkness, a band of ordinary shepherds, those who were at the bottom of the pecking order, received the greatest message the world had ever heard. They were the first to receive that message. They were confronted by an angel who told them that Isaiah's prophecy had been fulfilled that very night. Suddenly, Luke 2:9, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And they were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. This was a message the world had been waiting for centuries. This was a message that fulfilled the promise God gave to Adam and Eve in the garden. This was the prophecy of Micah being fulfilled. Micah 5:2, you Bethlehem Ephratah are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past. And the message of Christmas today in 2025 is the same as it's always been. And it's every bit as relevant to our situation in 2025 as it was for the first century world of the shepherds on the hillside to whom it was announced. And we need to hear that message just as the shepherds needed to hear it. Because when Christmas breaks into our lives, the message God brings to us is a message of comfort. These are beautiful words in Isaiah 14, verse 1. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned. Isaiah's people had tasted the bitter cup of the consequences of their spiritual disobedience and backsliding. There'd been much failure, much sin, much suffering, and many heartaches and tears. Their whole world had fallen apart, and they began to think there was no future they had to look forward to. And it seemed as if God had abandoned them to endless suffering. And sometimes that's how it might feel for us in our lives. There's been so much failure in our lives, so much sin, so much suffering, so many heartaches we've shed, so many tears. Has God abandoned us? Is there nothing to look forward to? But Hebrews 12:11 reminds us, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there'll be a peaceful harvest of righteous living for those who are trained in this way. Sometimes because of our sin, because of our failure, we are placed under the discipline of God. But though that is not enjoyable, it's not that God is punishing us. It's that God is channeling us so that we can turn away from our sin and our failure and we can walk in the paths of righteousness. David said in Psalm 103, verse 9, he will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. So Isaiah brings a message of comfort from God to the people of his day. Comfort. Comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her her sad days are gone. Her sins are pardoned. And God speaks to us this Christmas time in the same gentle, loving, gracious tones. Paul says in Galatians 4:4, when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. In that act of love and grace, that very first Christmas, God brought his own divine comfort to mankind. Into his darkness of despair, God brought the light of hope. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Into our sadness and suffering, he brought the one who is the vehicle of divine sympathy, love, and grace. Jesus, when he stood up in the synagogue at Nazareth, took the messianic words from Psalm 61 and applied them to himself as he told the congregation there, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. To all who mourn, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. Jesus brought that comfort to us. Jesus expressed that comfort in human form. He brought hope to people in pain. He restored sight to the blind. He healed the sick. He gave forgiveness to the sinners. He expressed his love and acceptance to those who were beyond the pale to bring them in. He brought hope to the hopeless, life to the lifeless, and love to the loveless. Comfort. Comfort my people. That's what this season is all about. God coming to us in Jesus to comfort us as we struggle with all our difficult experiences, as we are battered by a relentlessly unforgiving world, as we are broken and disappointed by our own failures and sins. Jesus brings to us comfort, understanding, help, and fresh hope. It's a message of comfort that the prophet brings to the people, but it's also a message of joy. Verse 9. O Zion, Isaiah 40, verse 9. O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops, shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. It's a message of joy. And good news is always worth sharing. It's always a joy to declare good news. And Isaiah's message of hope and comfort for the nation of Judah was enthusiastically proclaimed from the mountaintops. In the same way, the angels announced the Savior's birth to the shepherds with the same joy and enthusiasm. Your God is coming, for the angel said, your God is here. Born today, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He is here. That's the reality of this season of the year, when we rejoice in the message of joy that's made human in Jesus, our Lord and Savior, God the Son. And the joy that we experience when Jesus enters into our hearts and lives is beyond all compare. Nothing can compare to that joy. 1 Peter 1:8, the Apostle Peter says that when Jesus comes to dwell in your heart, you rejoice with a glorious and inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Amen. Hallelujah. We sang the carol this morning, the message of Christmas. Joy to the world. Why? Because the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. When we invite the Christ of Christmas to make our hearts his home, joy floods into our lives. because the Christmas message is a message of forgiveness. Verse 2, the prophet says to those who are to announce this message of good news, tell her her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned. For Jesus, it was but a step from the cradle to the cross. The shadow of that cross fell over the cradle at Bethlehem. And even in the Christmas story, we see warnings of what lay ahead for Jesus. The wise men gave him myrrh, a spice that was associated with suffering and death. People mixed myrrh with wine and drank it to relieve pain. It was an important spice used in the preparation of bodies for burial. And when Jesus was taken into the temple to be circumcised, the old priest Simeon recognized, here is the promised Messiah. And he said to Mary and Joseph, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He's been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. Is he a joy to you this morning, this Jesus, whom we're celebrating at Christmas? He came to pay the penalty for our sin. He came to bring salvation to men and women. When you know that God has forgiven your sins because you have trusted in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, joy floods your soul. Remember the old song, joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me. He brings deliverance. It's a message of joy because it's a message not only of forgiveness, but a message of deliverance. Verse 10, the sovereign Lord is coming in power, and he brings his reward with him as he comes. God promised to intervene powerfully to deliver his people. King Ahaz was encouraged by God through the prophet Isaiah to have faith in God. He didn't. God has intervened in human life by sending his one and only son, Jesus. And he encourages us to have faith in him. Do we this morning? Do we have faith in the Jesus God has sent, his one and only son? Isaiah's message was that a savior would come to liberate the captives, that God would punish the oppressor, that God would lovingly care for the needs of his redeemed people. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. When Jesus was born over 2,000 years ago, that very first Christmas, it was to intervene powerfully and gently in human lives. He had the power to still the raging winds and waves, the power to cast out the demons from those who were possessed. But he had the gentleness to take the children in his arms and bless them. The gentleness to wipe the fevered brow with his healing touch. When people encountered Jesus, he straightened out their lives, either with a powerful touch or a gentle touch. And down through the centuries, countless millions have been transformed because they have received the touch of Jesus in their lives. And Jesus has straightened them out and sorted out the mess. And Jesus has delivered them and given them the prospect of a glorious future in his presence. No wonder it's a message of joy. So as we prepare to celebrate Christ's coming again in this season of Advent, we need to hear that message once more. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. There are good tidings for Zion. It's a message of good news, great joy. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. You are to give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Amen. Father, we thank you for all that you have done in sending your beloved Son, Jesus, into the world to be the one through whom we might receive redemption, forgiveness of sins, new life, eternal life in your presence. Father, that message comforts us as we struggle with our darknesses in our world today and gives us the assurance that you have not abandoned us and never will. And we thank you that it brings joy, that message, into our heart because Jesus brings joy. And in knowing him, we have fullness of joy forevermore. Father, thank you for all that you have done for us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you that we can worship you this season of the year with joy, knowing that you have comforted us and just assured us of your grace and mercy and love. And so, Father, we thank you for our service this morning, the opportunity to express to you just how much we love you. And we pray your blessing to rest upon us. May grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us this day and always. Amen.